Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Sherry LaPena, who's out with her latest thriller, Someone We Know. This book takes the reader to an ordinary suburban neighborhood in upstate New York in the Hudson Valley, populated by ordinary couples and ordinary families, but extraordinary things start happening. There's a 16-year-old boy who's been breaking into houses just to snoop in the homeowners' computers. Then a beautiful woman from the neighborhood is found murdered, and as time goes by, the only thing we know for sure about these suburbanites is that they all have secrets and nobody knows everything. Sherry, your latest thriller, The Unwanted Guest, the previous one, took place at a hotel when all the guests were snowed in. It was a closed room setting. This one, the closed room, is a neighborhood, and people can come and go, but really, in a sense, it's closed off. You told me last year that writing a closed room setting was the most difficult writing experience you've had, but you kind of went back to it. Why?
Actually, you know, the closed room setting is the hardest thing I've ever done. This one, you've picked up on something interesting, is this whole sense of closed societies or closed settings that appeals to me. It is very claustrophobic, and it is sort of closed amongst a number of people, but it's not closed in the same way as a closed room where you have to be more careful of where people are and what they're doing. This one, I think what this one feels like is it feels claustrophobic because they're all trapped within their relationships with each other. So you can't really get away from your relationships. So it feels, you're right, it feels like they're all in a closed sort of setting because they're all trapped in these relationships with each other. But it's an easier book to write than a literally closed room mystery because it still feels wide open to me in terms of what I can do and where people can be.
I know you don't outline your plots, so what was the tiny little premise you had in your head when you started writing this book?
The thing that got me going on this one was, and I knew it immediately when I saw it, I saw on the internet I read something about a boy, a teenage boy in the States his parents had had his Wi-Fi cut off. And so in the middle of the night, he broke into a neighbor's house and borrowed their Wi-Fi. And I thought that was funny, and then I thought, well, what else might a tech-savvy teenage boy do? Maybe he'd be snooping into people's computers, and what might he find out? And then I started thinking, how would the mother react if she found out? And then I had the idea of, well, she might send an anonymous apology note, and then that would get things going, and I just went from there. I found it quite an easy start to this book.
Well, the teenage boy, Raleigh, I love the name for a character, by the way. I've never read that before. His mother, Olivia, she's a very sympathetic character to me because you've got a teenage boy who's doing things that's illegal, but she's just trying to be a good parent, and that's the first indication in the book we get that kids have secrets from their parents, right?
Yeah, so I wanted to spread out a bit on this one, so I brought in the teenage element and the relationship between the teenager and the parents, because it's a tricky time for parents, definitely, when kids are teenagers, and teenagers are interesting because they don't have that maturity to make good decisions, and they're fun to write for that reason, although you would argue that some of my grown-ups don't make good decisions either, and that's very true. But I find this book had more different kinds of relationships in it, different friendships, different relationships with children. But I am finding that parental issue quite interesting right now.
You talked about the different relationships in the book. We have best friends, we have neighbors, we have spouses, we have mistresses and married men, parents and children. As you wrote, though, with all these secrets that came out, were you surprised at some of the secrets these characters were actually hiding?
Yes, I tend to get surprised as I'm writing because I don't plan. So, I start off and I just see what evolves. I was surprised by what happened and what sorts of secrets people are keeping. And, I hope my readers are too. That's the fun thing about thrillers is you kind of dig deep and you try to find out what's going on behind closed doors. And there was lots going on here.
Well, you put out so many thrillers that keep people interested. I mean, this book took me about 90 minutes to read, start to finish. I didn't even stop. But I was thinking about other authors who I've read in the past, and Scott Turow came to mind, that type of a thriller where...
Oh, you know, I love him.
Well, there's plenty of twists and turns, and so it reminded me of Scott Turow. And it seems like when you write thrillers, you run the risk that because there's so many out there that you're going to do something that somebody else has done, and you're trying to tell the story in a better way. But it seems like, I think I remember the Andrew Lloyd Webber quote that you can't give people what they want or what they expect. You have to give them something that they're not even going to imagine. And you really accomplish that with this. So you must be the anomaly that you can imagine what other people can't even imagine. Is that kind of how it works?
Thank you. I've never heard that sort of thing before. That's a compliment. I guess that is what I'm doing. I'm taking it farther than they might think. But it is very hard to come up with something original for a thriller, because, or, you know, any kind of plot. Everything's been done so much, and that's always a risk. And when we're looking for ideas, and it's always, you want something that will spark a lot of interest in yourself so that you can get really fired up about it and try and take it as far as it can go, because otherwise it won't have that energy that people need in a read. Because plots are a dime a dozen. Like, there's so many people writing good books now. It's hard to stand out. So, yeah, I'm not sure how I do it. It's partly the way I pace books and partly the unexpectedness of things. And it's just, I guess, the twisty way my mind works. I'm lucky that way.
When you're writing, do you sense these surprises cognizantly, or do you get an idea for where the book should go, and then you think, wait, that's too simple, the reader's going to figure this out, I've got to make this a little bit more challenging?
No, I do it organically, so I don't plan out where it's going to go. I honestly, when I'm writing along, it, you know, stuff will just happen. So I can't even give examples from the book because there's too many spoilers, but something will happen. I'll go, oh, I didn't see that coming. And then that leads to something else. I go, ooh, that's cool. And I just go like that. I don't plan them out. They just kind of surprise me. But I think it's just my unconscious mind is always working at it. So even when I'm not writing, I think my mind is perking along and living with the characters. And then the next day when I sit down to write, something will come up.
And I've got to think that it sounds weird to people who've never written a novel that, or a thriller or anything, that you honestly don't know where the story's going and that you're surprised, because you're the creator, you're the one with the keyboard and making this happen. So how do you explain that to people who say, well, there's no way she can't know where the story's going, she's writing it?
Well, the only way I can think of explaining it is like this, and I had to explain this to someone recently who simply couldn't get their mind around how I work. But there are a lot of writers who work this way, where we don't really know where we're going, and we figure it out as we go along day by day. But the thing is, there's two ways you can do it. You can either do it the way I do it, or you can do it where you plan everything out fully first. My problem is, when I sit down, I've tried to plan a novel out, and I just can't do it, because my editors and my agent would prefer to have an outline. You know, when they buy a book, they would prefer not for me to say I'm going to go by the seat of my pants. But I sit down, and when I try to outline, I can't think of anything. So for me, the odder thing is how someone can sit down with a piece of paper and maybe one or two characters and an idea and figure out everything that's going to happen and how it's going to end when he hasn't written it. Like, I just don't see how the brain can come up with enough ideas for twists and plot developments when there's no story yet. So to me, that seems like a very, very hard thing to do. But for me, writing day by day and letting it develop incrementally seems easier. But people have a hard time believing that a writer works incrementally day by day, but they don't seem to have a hard time believing that a writer can imagine the entire story off the top of their head. And that's what I can't do. And I think it has to do with how your brain works. Some people can see it, they can access those ideas right off the top, and other people have to be in it to access those ideas. I don't know, it's just different brains work differently, but honestly, I'm always amazed that someone can sit down and say, like, if someone were to sit down and plot the book that I just wrote on paper and say, and then this person's going to do this, and this is going to happen, I don't know how they see that. That's like looking into the future for me. To me, it seems magical. Much like some people must look at me and think it's magical. It's just different brains work differently.
I'm chatting with Sherry LaPena about her brand new thriller, Someone We Know. After the murder of Amanda Pierce in the book, the two detectives, Webb and Moen, male and female partners, they seem to be the most calm characters in the book. The neighbors are all running around scared, but their secrets getting revealed. With all the pressure that comes with the job as a detective, why were these detectives in this book the calm characters?
I think typically in my books, what I like to do is focus on the people in the story who are not the police. So I always seem to have police in my stories because crimes have been committed and, you know, someone has to be figuring it out. But I really like to focus on the people committing the crimes and the people worried about being found out about committing crimes. And it's those characters and personalities that I'm most interested in. I'm not really interested in doing a police procedural or studying what the police do. Like, there are lots of stories that take it from the point of view of the police. So I try to keep the police to a more limited role and focus on the characters other than the police, the ones involved in the crime.
Did the lawyer in you want to yell at some of these characters to stop talking to the police?
Yeah. Well, no, because I like to see them get themselves into trouble. I love when the police are questioning suspects because it's so much tension, you know?
It makes for a fantastic plotline and thriller. The cautionary tale I took from this book is you never want to be too close to your neighbors. Did I miss the point completely?
No, I think you can get close to your neighbors. It's just you have to behave yourself.
All right. You've written these thrillers and you're excellent at it. Could you ever see yourself writing a character series, though?
A series?
Yeah, a character series, yeah.
I doubt it, though. I mean, I like to have the sort of open-ended. I have thought about series because it would be easier and faster, I think, to write something where I already had the setting and all the characters set out and all I had to do was come up with a storyline. But it's not as open-ended for me. I don't have as much room to explore if I were doing a series. So I don't have any interest in doing one at this point anyway.
And especially when most series are centered around the investigators themselves and you don't make them the main characters, right?
That's right. So, I mean, if you do a series, you're generally focused on the police who come up across a number of different crimes. I mean, you couldn't take my people that I have in these this book and then have them involved in another horrible situation because it wouldn't be very believable. But I did leave things after A Stranger in the House. I did leave things sort of set up as if I could write a sequel to that, and I've had a lot of people ask me to write a sequel to that. But that wouldn't be a series. It might be a sequel if I were ever to do it.
All right. This latest thriller from Sherry LaPena is Someone We Know. It is a fantastic offering to round up the summer reading time here. Go out and pick up a copy. Sherry, thanks so much for joining us to talk about it.
Oh, my pleasure.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Neighbor, neighbor, why you messing in my life?